Hello, and welcome to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Green, and Columbia Counties. And this is Chad Weckler. I am the host of this program for the next hour. This is the Art of the Hudson Valley. And we're going to be streaming globally today around the world. And you can listen on WGXC.org. For that. And today we're going to have a great roundtable discussion about art galleries, collecting art, the art trends, and also buying and selling and collecting and what's going on in the art world. And we have two local gallery directors here in Hudson, and they are, in fact, I'll have them introduce themselves. Wendy, why don't you start?
I'm Wendy McDerris from McDerris Fine Art at 7th and Warren.
And I'm Steve Izzo, and I am from Gallery Gree on 621 Warren Street.
And you're sort of gallery neighbors, too, aren't you?
We are.
We actually share a wall.
And let's start. Wendy, why don't you give our listeners an opportunity to know your background, where you came from, and why you're here?
Well, my background in art started when I was very, very young, and I looked at a lot of art books, and my parents did not believe that children needed television to have a good time.
Good.
So there are pros and cons about that. So I did a lot of looking at art books at a very young age, and I just became deeply attached to art. Even as young as 3 and 4 years of age. Mm. So then I became a professor of art, and I was living in the South in Memphis, Tennessee at the time. And I also became an independent curator and did shows with museums nationally and internationally. So that was my background before running my own art gallery here in Hudson.
Steve, what about you?
Well, I sort of come to the gallery scene from the collecting side. Very similar to Wendy, when I was growing up, I grew up outside of Chicago, and routinely my parents would take us to the Art Institute, Museum of Contemporary Art, and actually individual art galleries at that time. So it was something that was very much a part of my life growing up. And then I also graduated with a degree in graphic design and also a minor in art history. So it's always been a part of my life. But then from the collecting side, it was the first impetus to actually own art. And then once you start that, you encourage other people to own art. And so I had been working in advertising and stopped that last January and opened the gallery.
I mean, here's an interesting question. Why collect art? Steve, why don't you sort of started that?
Well, because it makes you happy. And I think people people always look for a very intellectual reason for it, but I think for me anyway, it's like there are certain things that you see. It's once you own a piece of art in your home or wherever it is, it's it makes me happy. I think, you know, obviously at a certain point there are people who collect for investment, but I think basically for me my encouragement is that you know, people look at a painting or a photograph and they like it.
That's number one. Yeah. You should love the art and be inspired by it. And Wendy, does that sort of ring true for you also?
Well, definitely. And I also think that a lot of damage has actually been done to art in the United States through looking at art as something only for the vested interests. Mm. And, you know, the best art you may have ever seen in your life might have been done by your next door neighbor. And you may have that painting on your wall, and it may enhance your life for the rest of your life. Mm. Every time you look at it, you may get another thought. So I think both Steve and I are very interested in bringing everyone to the table of art, not keeping art just as something exclusively for people with lots of money, but for everyone to enjoy. And art doesn't have to cost $1 million for you to love it.
That's true. And do you find, you obviously both have customers that are local, regional, national, and international. Do you sense there is a sort of difference of how each of those people look at art? Is it universal or?
Well, I think ultimately it can be universal. There maybe are certain things that become more popular. I actually did a studio visit in Brooklyn yesterday, and there was a woman who actually, great artist, and she had a gallery in Paris in the Marais, and she had these particular drawings that sold very well, and it was this weird thing, like you could imagine that these would sell very well in Paris for some reason. I think that it's interesting. I'm sort of pursuing a Norwegian photographer, and it obviously he's photographed a lot of places in Norway, so it'll be interesting to see if subject matter carries over. And it makes a difference between what people see and if it's not a place they're familiar with.
What I like about the galleries here in Hudson, and certainly from both of your galleries, is you do mix it with regional artists and artists that are not from the region.
Yes, and I, for me, that's very much a part of my program, is showing young artists along with very experienced artists and artists from overseas with artists from right here in Hudson or in Columbia County. I think it's an effective way to underscore the idea that art is everywhere. And, you know, you don't have to be famous to do great art.
Well, Wendy, what do you find interesting with the art that you have currently in your gallery?
Well, at the moment, in the front gallery, I have three artists all treating the idea of the straight line in very different ways. I have one young woman from New York City, and then the other two are from Hudson. One emerging artist and one artist who is just beginning his career. And they're all using the straight line to communicate different ideas, different concepts. But it's the umbrella title of that show is The Mystic Line, which is a line from Ralph Waldo Emerson, in which he says, which is human, which is divine. When you draw a line or when you make art, you often go into a meditative state. And sometimes it feels as if you're not actually making the work, but something is speaking through you because you're actually almost in a trance sometimes. And it seems to come very automatically from you. So we're exploring that idea through the straight line.
Steve, what's exciting about filling a space with art?
Well, actually, the show that I have up right now, it's Marina Adams. It's a painter from New York, and extremely colorful paintings. Some are sort of like target paintings, sort of a la Kenneth Nolan, but incredible use of color. And actually, for me personally, the great thing about having a space that you sit in and you feel like every show there's a different emotion. And in this particular show, it's extremely colorful. I mean, people come in smiling. And it's also within a show, if it's a painting show, I also try to show work on paper. And Marina has done all this work on gouache, on handmade Indian paper that people have really, really responded to. And it's actually been interesting that people have liked the tactile idea of this handmade paper.
Now, a lot of galleries, unfortunately, in New York City seem to be leaving, probably primarily because of rents. There certainly is a demand for art. Is it difficult having a brick and mortar? What do you enjoy out of that kind of experience?
Well, I, I think it's a conversation because of all the art fairs and, you know, there are collectors who are opening private galleries. I think what's happening in the city, there's a lot of relocation. I mean, a lot of the galleries from Chelsea have moved to the Lower East Side. I just went to an opening in Soho, which was kind of a complete surprise because it was always like back to where it all started.
Yes.
And so I think there's room for a little bit of everything. I think in a place like New York, and hopefully with what everybody's trying to do in Hudson, because we actually have a very healthy number of galleries here, is that it does afford people the opportunity to walk in and look at art, which, you know, again, it's a great experience versus looking it on the internet and you just physically can see the piece of art.
Yes, and I would add that, you know, in regard to paintings, especially oil paintings or paintings with surface, you need the opportunity to connect with surface. That's one of the powerful ways that art speaks to you is through surface. So I think it would be very difficult to actually complete a purchase for instance, a sculpture or a painting with lots of texture, simply because you need that connection to the surface of the art or to the three-dimensionality of the sculpture. But additionally, I feel that art is very much an international subject, always has been, actually, and New York City for many, many years dominated that market. But I think that New York City is less powerful in that regard, and that art has fanned out from that large capital of art to go into communities across the country and all over the world. For instance, China, as we have heard many times recently, has a very healthy art market at this point, especially in Hong Kong and Shanghai, and somewhat in Beijing. So, you know, there now we're getting a better picture of the effects of art, and that art is really a global interest.
What is your? How would you describe your relationship with the artist? What is the conversation that you like to have with an artist that you represent, for instance?
Well, initially, a conversation with an artist that I want to show in the gallery is usually about the things that I really connect with in their work. And it's interesting because I look at art as not good or bad, but rather something that I can learn from. And the more that I can learn from a work of art, the more I like it. And of course, my individual aesthetic taste has to play in to my choices and my selections. Nevertheless, I again don't really feel that there's this good category of art and this bad category of art. So, what I show is naturally based on my choices aesthetically.
And I opened the gallery last July, so I'm coming upon 1 year, and I've been fortunate because of actually in some cases painters that I've collected and built a relationship with. Also, for many years living in New York, meeting artists that in some cases have never shown, and it's been a great chance to give people who really are painters, who are academics, a place to show. And the incredible thing is in this area, in the Hudson River Valley, there are a tremendous amount of artists that I think people don't even realize. People who, like a lot of us, have homes up here but still go back to the city. People have double studios here and in Brooklyn, and it's a great wealth. But for example, as we were coming over here, an artist just happened to walk in the gallery, somebody who I collected. Mm. And I've said, "And who are you?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." Wow. And so that's a really fun kind of experience. And when you were asking how you determine what you show, I think it does come from a certain sensibility you have. What I'm learning now is, actually, I like to be in a situation where perhaps I think I know somebody about it, something about an artist's work, but then you go and they kind of push you in a different direction. I also think you can have a great relationship with an artist where you also push them in a direction that makes it all work for everyone.
Yeah, it's a two-way street, Chad. Mm. I think, you know, Steve and I have these experiences with artists, but it's not all about what we're looking for, or really all about what we've already seen or what the artist has already done. Sometimes the artist is going to produce a show for you that is really specifically for your gallery. Mm. Studio visits are a fantastic way to generate ideas and get excited about the potential for a show for a particular artist.
I can see, you know, my point of view, I look at both of you and every curator or gallery director almost like a chef in a restaurant, where you are choosing the cuisine and you have patrons who love what you create. And speaking of patrons, I mean, you must have people who love your taste in art, who visit the gallery often to see what you've cooked up.
Well, and you also can have people who really don't like your taste in art. So I think that's the conversation that you actually hope that you have. I mean, for me, it's obviously if you have a show, you want people to like it. But I also think it's an interesting experience because it gives everybody the opportunity to have a dialogue about art. And I think the more you see. When I go back into the city now, I have more of a chance to really do a lot more gallery shows, and it's like the more art you see, the better it is, and actually the more understanding you develop for it.
What are some of the shows that you have? How far in advance do you actually plan your schedule?
About a year and a half. For me, I go about a year and a half, but here's what can happen. Things can happen to the schedule, and I know that Steve and I both have to, you know, occasionally juggle dates because something's happening in the artist's life or something's happened with a show that was so popular you need to extend it or things of that nature. So you end up scheduling for in good faith, you're scheduling, yes. But it's possible to have to move that schedule around.
Yeah, I'm not that organized yet. I work a little closer to, but it's probably, you know, I have an idea of probably the next five shows, right now, certainly it works for me because sometimes, like, you can juggle within a show rather than having promised somebody that, okay, this month you're going to have a show, and for example, I just saw some work where I'm probably going to push the show up pretty quickly versus something else that I was thinking. So
now, square footage wise, your galleries are not small, but they're not large either. What's the...
They're intimate.
They're intimate. Mm-hmm. I like that.
They are. And then you can be very up close and personal with the art. You know, you're not looking across a vast amount of space. I think it's important for people to get some distance, but be able to go right up to it. And also for other works within that show to have a relationship.
And I like, and Wendy, I've seen you do this. You're an ambassador between the art and the art lover. And to hear the dialogue that takes place of you're basically telling a genealogy or a history or... taking that piece of art and going a little bit more in depth, which I personally find very fascinating and something more that I want to know.
Well, I think that a lot of times when I'm listening to a potential client or someone who really loves art, they often tell me things I haven't thought of. So I'm initially loving the conversation so that I can hear what they have to say, because then it sparks new thoughts for me. And they my visitors, my gallery visitors, really add to what I think about the art and expand my vision of it.
Steve?
It's interesting to me because I primarily collect fairly minimal abstract art, and I really pretty much go on a visual response, so I actually personally don't require that much dialogue about anything that I look for. And that's what's been interesting to me, having the gallery. And I've had two photography shows where for some reason when people come in and look at photography, they don't really need much explanation or information about it at all. I mean, sometimes they'll be, where is this, or how do they do that? But with painting, it seems to be a much more difficult experience sometimes, where people want to know more about a painting, even on a very abstract level. Like I think it's been interesting that even on something that really has no reference, that people like to find or feel the need to find a reference to what even the abstraction is about. And and for example, the show I have right now, there isn't really any reference in terms of landscape or anything. It's much more a reference between planes and space, and really just like a visual color experience. And actually, in particular, I think people are getting that with this show. And so it is funny because also when you start in a dialogue, as Wendy's saying, everybody, and that's the great thing about art, everybody has their own interpretation of something. And, you know, they're on an academic level. You have people who are knowledgeable, who write criticism. And, you know, I think that's a good learning curve for me. Like, you can read this, and it gives you some access to that. But I think at the end of the day, people still take away whatever they're thinking about it.
Well, Steve, let me sort of get a picture of how your current show happened. That dialogue with the artist, did you communicate with the artist exactly what should go on the walls, or
No. It's in this particular artist, it is actually somebody that I've known for many years, an incredible painter who has been doing it for a long time. Just started showing a couple of years ago after raising a child, and has actually had great success. And I've followed her throughout the years, like, you know, maybe she'd have one piece in a group show or something like that. And then we would continue to have conversations, and then the gallery idea came up, and I contacted her immediately. And she was in the process of, the minute I contacted her, this was last summer, and she was going to Zurich. She was having her first show. It was a group show with Howard Hodgkins, which is a pretty incredible thing, first time out. And then she just had a show a couple of months ago in New York. So it all sort of coincided at the same time, and it happened very quickly. And the great thing is, when I went and saw the new work, I was just like bowled over. And it was very simpatico. And since I think we had a relationship, there was a certain amount of trust. And it all happens pretty easily.
And did she come in with a lot of different pieces, and both of you chose what should be on the walls?
Well, in the city, she showed large-scale paintings that were 72 inches by 72 inches. I don't have the space for that, so we showed smaller paintings, and she actually does these exquisite pieces that are 10 by 10 inches and 12 by 12 inches. And then also she, as I mentioned before, did work on paper, which she did not show in the New York show. So that was something that we kind of wanted to add in to make it a little different, and the response has been great to it. But I also think gallery spaces are different too, so I think for the artist, it's just another way to see your work. And I have the gray wall that everybody loves. So it's like I have people coming in to match paint samples. And
it's a lovely gray. It's sort of a dark charcoal kind of luscious gray.
Well, it's become like the Wailing Wall. It's like, and it's a great backdrop for lots of art. And it's interesting because I sort of go back to the days when I moved to New York in 1978, where a lot of galleries were a very medium gray color before sort of like the big white box thing started happening. So it's in some ways it's really not unique or new, but and also because the wall has some sort of structure to it, so I think it allows people to somehow envision like their house or something, which was a complete surprise to me, which has worked out very well.
And Wendy, you have, you're very eclectic showing right now. how did that all come about?
You mean the three artists?
Well, there's lighting.
Oh yes, there is lighting. I'm showing a designer who is actually based here in Hudson. He is a designer and a lighting artist, and he's also a sculptor. I made a connection with Lou Blass some time ago, and we started talking, and I told him I wanted to show his work in the gallery. It's very sculptural, so it does two things. It certainly functions as light, but it also functions as sculpture, and that's been very, very popular show. The show that it's paired with has a kind of esoteric background to it, and a sort of a mystical background, and really goes well with the idea of space and planetary bodies. So I think they worked well together. There was a kind of synergy that worked well. But speaking about the interior of the gallery, you know, I've never been a fan of the white box and felt that it did a disservice to art. And I also had a gallery in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where all the walls are a medium taupe color, you know, as in Adobe.
Yes.
And the work just jumped off the walls. It was a real education. So, and I think it helps people, as Steve said, it helps people visualize art in their home. So I originally, when I got the gallery space, I put in the dark taupe wall and then painted a long gray wall as well in my gallery for furniture to go against, because I do have an artist that does unusual finishing of furniture as well, Jackie Thomas.
Talking about artists, and I would, from my point of view, the epitome of maybe making oneself an artist is to say I'm represented at a gallery. And since there seems to be way more artists than there are galleries, that's not going to happen for the majority of artists. How do you solicit or new art? And when artists come to you, how would you prefer they do come to you?
Well, I don't know about Steve, but I know that I generally select my artists on my own. I go to them. I have a lot of people coming in asking to show their art to me. I always am happy to look and to make suggestions, but by and large, they're probably not going to show with me, because you're following your own aesthetic map when you open a gallery. I would say, you know, you're following your own ideas about what appeals to you visually, and what you think will also appeal to the culture of the moment.
Well, I also think, I mean, I love to look at everything, and I mean, I must say I had been warned before I opened the gallery about local artists, and I don't...
Was my name mentioned?
But I was a creative director in advertising. I like to look at everybody's portfolios and just see. And I think what happens is the interesting thing for me is I actually feel some of my direction in terms of my personal likes changing a little bit based on work that I have seen and work that I'm going to be showing. So I think that's an interesting curve. I think there, there are so many, when you say local artists, there are so many different types of art that people do. A local artist can be, somebody who shows in New York and is quite well known, or
true.
It can be somebody who has never shown. It can be somebody who's shown all over the entire Hudson River Valley already. So I just think, again, it's good to see everything. I actually am planning two shows of people who have walked in, who just are doing new great work. They're transplanted into this area, so I don't know if you'd call them Hudson River Valley painters. But, I always keep my eye open. And what happens is that as you start exploring, all painters have friends, and or just you'll be looking at one thing and it brings you into a different area. And as I said, just the idea of the more art you see, and I also think it helps you develop. Even for people going to galleries, when the more you see, you can determine your own taste. You can walk in someplace and say, "Oh my God, I don't get this." I think what you need to try to take away a little bit is some sort of reason as to why you like something or don't like something to sort of continue that growth.
And it also sort of explains the culture of the moment. When you're looking at art, it really gives you a feel for what is coming.
Mm.
It foreshadows the future.
Right, and art also changes and history rewrites itself. Mm-hmm. There are painters who were possibly not well thought of as painters. Maybe they were illustrative or that, and then history rewrites itself and becomes much kinder to them.
Mm.
And so, it can be a cyclical, and then you have all types of extreme art, performance art, and videos and stuff like that, which is also an extremely viable product. It's a little harder in a gallery space in terms of turning your gallery over to a complete installation that isn't for sale, but hopefully we're going to get a dabble a little bit with some video and installation art in the future.
How do both of you promote yourselves as a gallery?
Websites are essential. You got to have a website.
I'm working on mine.
and it's a wonderful tool because you can just direct people to the website. Hmm. But additionally, advertising in a large number of ways is very, very important. And word of mouth is very important. If you have a client base that really likes you, they're going to talk about you and bring people to you. And I know that just through my curatorial work with museums, I have a lot of clients that way as well. So, Steve being a designer, I also come from a design background myself and taught as a professor in graphic and exhibit design. You tend to have a pretty wide circle of people that you already know who are visual people who love art. So the word of mouth becomes extremely important in that regard.
Is direct mail still strong?
I do both. I do emailed invitations. I do printed invitations. I also, basically the internet and not obviously a website is important, but I also think that you have to continually send pictures out to people, encourage people, it's not easy to sell art.
It isn't easy to sell art, and that when people ask you, For instance, they'll ask you oftentimes, well, let's see, the artist creates the painting, and then, you know, what is your percentage for selling it? And the once you get that painting or that work of art in your gallery, you do a tremendous amount of promotion, talking, writing, emailing about that work of art.
Selling
in
is
order
important.
To sell it, yeah, and it's not an easy thing. I think it's a very specific area of sales, and not everybody wants to be in that area of sales because it requires a certain style, if you will. Or
well, it's also interesting because obviously you have different customers who have different needs for art, and you know, if somebody is helping somebody do an apartment and basically they need art versus having real collectors who come in and are truly just buying because they like something. They don't question the size of it, where it's all like they're just buying it because
they love it. Yeah.
And it's great on all levels. It's interesting to work with collectors because if they've developed their own taste, it's great to maybe sometimes show them something that's a little bit out of the box for them and introduce them to something new also.
Well, I like your previous comments about art being loved first and collecting art because you love it, but there are also ones that want to invest. When that subject matter comes up, are they at that point maybe asking more about the artist? Where have they shown? Do you know any other collectors who do collect that art?
Well, we tend to provide lots of information about the artist if available. But I also am quite interested in developing artists and helping them to their first experiences in their careers. So sometimes it's an opportunity to get in on the ground floor with an artist that someone really loves, and later that artist blows up and does very, very well. I've had a few artists do that.
And it sort of makes you really feel good because you've made that connection with artist yourself and the person who's just purchased that art.
Exactly.
Well, it's also, I think you have to be careful, though, when you're talking about collecting and value in that, because I think at a certain level, we all know, and I try to stay away from that, because obviously I can't predict, and obviously at a certain monetary level is sort of where somebody could say, okay, if you buy this, it might be more valuable next year. But again, the important thing is Wendy's saying, maybe you're showing somebody who hasn't shown before, so hopefully there is an increase in value. But I always just come back to it. You should buy something because you like it.
That's the first thing.
Even if you are investing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people are coming to Hudson?
I think Hudson represents a really great value in art. I really do. I think you can come here, you can buy on all different levels. You can buy something that's very esoteric. You can buy representational that's just beautiful to you. There are a lot of ways to buy art here. We have a huge variety of eyes looking, you know. So I think that's one of the reasons. Plus, it's a wonderful atmosphere. To buy art, you know, wonderful restaurants, wonderful bed and breakfasts to stay in. But at the same time, I also think that Hudson's kind of an interdisciplinary city. It's really developed some wonderful music venues and performance venues. So you can come here and get the whole package, not just art, but a bunch of different enjoyable activities are available here, and wonderful restaurants.
I did have Carrie Haddad here on the program about a year or so ago, and the comment that came up about art galleries was an interesting, quirky kind of fact, is that Hudson has more art galleries per capita than New York City does. So, kind of an interesting take on that, but meaning that you can come to Hudson, as which is 2 square miles or less, if with art galleries, and see a tremendous amount of eclectic art, making it probably more, I think, more interesting for the visitor to experience.
Well, also, I mean, culturally, there's so many things to do here with all the colleges, Bard, and the programs that they have in the summer. There's a new space, CR10, with Francine McGivern, who just opened, and she's doing phenomenal things. So I think if you're looking for it, it certainly is here. If you come up here with the diversity between restaurants, antique stores, music venues, it's all probably, I think, surprises people when they come that there is so much. I mean, that's the reaction I get when you've asked people, have you been to Hudson before? And people are like, fairly amazed with it.
And Wendy, you brought up an interesting description of artists. One is emerging. What's in your definition? What's an emerging artist?
An emerging artist is someone who's getting a lot of notice. When you talk about an established artist, that's an artist who has been heavily noticed, heavily collected, and is in a number of august museums and collections, and is doing very well with their career. And generally, they're an older artist, not necessarily, but generally. Some artists mature very quickly with their work, and others take a while to get there. But with an emerging artist, that is an artist that is having a very promising moment in their career and looks to be making some great gains, getting into lots of good collections. But I stress again that art that you love can be by your next door neighbor. So, you know, I sometimes feel very conflicted, because I want people to know that there is art everywhere in the United States that's really, you know, it could be very much intended for you, specifically you, whoever you are. And it doesn't have to be art by name.
Well, you know, and I also think the idea of emerging artists, it can be somebody who's painted their entire life and then all of a sudden
get somewhere.
And I think that actually, I mean, that probably happens in any profession, but I mean, I know quite a few examples of that. And, you know, again, the other thing in towards seeing art, like, encourage people to go to all the art fairs, because you see an incredible variety of people who are young, doing experimental things, to galleries who basically have incredible art that has been around, that's basically on a resale level. And again, just besides Hudson, we encourage people to come here, but also to go anywhere when they're traveling and look at art.
What's often, and I'm sure this is all over the board, what's the best advice you've given a recent artist that is maybe not going to show in your gallery, but there's something about the art that you like? How do you potentially direct that artist in a potential direction?
Well, what I like to do is, even sometimes if somebody comes in and their art isn't necessarily for me, I try to facilitate a different direction, like, and usually I kind of know somebody else or some other place that they could go. If it's something that becomes more of an academic thing, if I'm looking at somebody maybe who is younger or somebody who is fresh out of school and they have a body of work, there might be certain areas that I would suggest that they concentrate on more than others. Or sometimes I feel a lot of young artists try to cover everything. You know, they do traditional painting or photography, and then they incorporate video and have installation pieces, and it's kind of like, okay, you need to kind of somehow condense this thought into something that's a little stronger.
Wendy, do you agree?
Well, I do agree, but I also am someone who enjoys mentoring younger artists, possibly because I come from that academic background. But oftentimes I end up giving advice about materials. If I see someone who is very talented, the area in which I am concerned with is often what the level of materials that are being used in the work are. I want to know, is that conservation quality paper? Are you using the best paints that you could use? Because if you're doing really great work, it's got to be with the best materials. Then it's gallery ready and collector ready.
Another sort of unusual question coming from me is, you look at a let's say it's painting or a photography, it's visual art, and the frame is wrong. At least in your opinion, will you say, I love the art, but the frame, can we change?
I'm pretty specific about that. I like to see things framed quite simply so you see the art. In some rare situations where somebody's using the frame as part of the art piece, sometimes that works, but I mean, my motto is to keep it pretty simple.
It could.
And I'm in agreement with that. I have an artist, in fact, who is framing their work in such a way that it becomes part of the art, and that's fine. You know, if it works, it works. But I'm very much a simple is better kind of person when it comes to framing.
Now, do the two of you often, you have Carrie Haddad across the street, you sort of, you might say, cornered that market of galleries. You have three wonderful galleries on one corner. How often do the three of you coordinate your openings?
Well, we've been trying, and I think the last opening we all three were open at the same time, and I think it makes it much easier for people who are going out to look at art, and people seem to enjoy the fact that all galleries were opening. I'm not sure if it comes back to us on any level, but I mean it's nice because it's the night of art, and there's a lot of art to see that way, and people can enjoy all of it.
Yeah, I think it's advantageous for the art-going crowd. That's a wonderful thing if people can show up and see lots of different directions.
Now, everybody is different. What are your gallery hours? How often are you open during the week, and what are the hours?
My hours are Thursday through Monday, 11 to 5.
And my hours are Wednesday through Monday, 11 to 5, sometimes 6. On the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I tend to stay at least until 6.
So let's hear, since we have a few more minutes, but I'd like to talk about each of your galleries, the shows that you currently have, the artists that are in the galleries, and the next show coming up and when that happens. Steve, maybe start with you.
As I said, the show that I have now is Marina Adams, and it's, if you like color and abstraction and just pretty clean, pure lines in the work, it's a show for you. The next show is going to be Kylie Heidenheimer, who does sort of a little more color field abstraction, and I love color, so I tend to do shows with a lot of color, and we're just in the stages of planning that now.
Great. Wendy?
Right now, as I said earlier, the show is called The Mystic Line, and Daniela Ezzo, Letizia Hussein, and Logan Vischer are the artists in that show. two of the artists are photographers. One using Daniela Ezzo is using an old process of photography called salt prints, and Letizia Hussein's work, her photography is digital photography in a large format. And Logan Vischer is using pen and ink on watercolor paper. I also have some historical work from the previous show in the back by Juanita Guccione, as well as work by Kim Bach, who owns Verdigris Tea, and some other vintage works that were shown under the umbrella of vintage modernism. My next show is going to be local artist Mark Wasserbach. He's going to be doing environmental sculptures. He's very popular in Columbia County. He's sold many works here as well as in New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts for gardens, lawns, forested areas. He just does marvelous work.
A question for both of you. Has there been anything that you've seen, doesn't have to be art, that has just blown you away? Just, wow, I think that's great. That's unusual. I love it. Wish I could have it. Wish I could see it more often. Is there anything that you've experienced recently?
I wanted to make two recommendations. One is for sort of small little gallery that I go to often. It actually is the gallery at Hunter in New York, and they do incredible shows, and there's an exhibit there now that's quite special. It's on Argentine artists and some New York artists. It's about form and shape, and it's a really, really great show. And then also the second one is a show at Elizabeth Harris right now. She's having a retrospective of Victor Peche, who passed away last year. And I've actually followed his work for many years, always with the idea of like, boy, I want one of those. Mm-hmm. And when you see the show, it's like an incredible, incredible show.
Wendy?
There's a fabulous show at the Philadelphia Museum of Art right now, which is all outsider art, a term that is being hotly debated these days. Nevertheless, it is all the art is coming from a private collection, and it spans a good deal of time and includes people like Bill Traylor, who was a former slave, and has also some big favorites, Howard Finster, Lee Goody, and so on and so forth. Fabulous encyclopedic show of folk art. Here in Hudson, of course, we have our own wonderful artist, Earl Swanigan, who will be featured in a folk art show art show will be featured in the gallery this coming December.
Wonderful. I bet both of you, I'm assuming, collect books of art. Anything that you like to collect in that area? And is that an area that more artists could be doing?
Well, I think you have two different categories there. I mean, I have tons and tons of books, and I actually just bought a book on Anne Hamilton. It's kind of a retrospective. It's almost like a textbook of all her projects that she's done, and it's a beautiful, beautiful book. The other thing is what I'm a little more interested in trying to work some projects out on the collaboration of artists with poets and sort of limited edition handmade books that way, and that's something that's very interesting to me right now.
Well, I do collect art books, and I have a pretty big store of them. In fact, they're weighing me down at the moment. I don't know what will happen to them, but I do keep art books in the gallery so that people can come in and use them as reference or just look through them and find things that they like. Recently, I actually work on artist books myself. So rather than collecting books, I'm in a phase of producing books for artists. And that's a super enjoyable endeavor for me.
Do you think the galleries both of you have would have an accompanying book of the artist? Is that a benefit?
Sometimes I do have a book that if the artist has a publication, I certainly feature it in the gallery and will obtain copies for any interested parties.
Yeah, and I actually haven't done any catalogs. Obviously, it's expensive, and as I said, I'm more interested in taking that money and trying to do a specific project that basically would be a limited edition piece of art for somebody to buy.
Do you think there are any changing trends coming up for both galleries and for artists that you notice?
Yes. There are new, big, comprehensive websites like ArtSY and a number of others that are showing art online and having some success at selling. So they're almost turning the conventional wisdom on its head at this point, that you need to see art to connect with it and to buy it. Some time ago, I predicted that galleries might end up in virtual spaces. We haven't quite seen that yet, but we just may.
I think there's probably something for everyone. I actually kind of am feeling that in some cases there's a return to really vivid color paintings. And I actually just wanted to make another recommendation of speaking of color, is a painter, Stanley Whitney, who has a show at Team Gallery. And then a show that I saw last night was Elena Sisto at Laurie Bookstein, which is a fantastic show. And Elena actually has a house in the Hudson River Valley also.
What are your, if you were to name one of your favorite artists, living or not, do you have one or two?
That's very difficult. That's a hard question. But actually, Steve mentioned one that I have been reminded of in recent weeks that I'm a huge admirer of, Howard Hodgkin.
Yeah, I don't. It keeps changing, which is thing. And it right now, I've sort of become interested in figurative painting again, which for me is a more difficult subject matter or something to like find things that I like. But I'm sort of searching that path.
And I'll throw in maybe one last question since we're very close to the end. How would you like an artist to contact you who wants to show artwork? And what's the way not to do it?
People can come into the gallery. They can call the gallery. As I said, I like to look at everything. I think when people come in, they just have to be respectful if something's going on in the gallery or if you're with other people.
To be respectful, Wendy?
I am open to however they want to contact me, by phone, by email, by coming in. It doesn't necessarily mean that I can help them with the gallery, but I certainly will give them some time.
That's very fair of you, both of you. Well, I want to thank both of you, Steve and Wendy, for joining into this roundtable discussion about art. You did a fabulous job. I really appreciate your time coming in and making some great conversation.
Great. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Well, that concludes this month's The Art of the Hudson Valley program. And I do my program here, The Art of the Hudson Valley, first Thursdays of every month. I hope you tune in. And please check wgxc.org for your schedule of things coming up here at the station, here locally and globally. And thank you all. And this is Chad Weckler signing off. And don't forget, create.